Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
For you, hallelujah. For you are God alone, for you are God alone. Thank you, Father, for you are God and God alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For you are God, for you are God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For you are God alone, for you are God and God alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One more time. For you are God alone. So we start from James chapter 1. Okay, let's start from verse 20. It said, for the rod of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Other rendition will say, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. That is not ambiguous at all. And we will all agree to this, if we are to be sincere, that the anger of man can never produce what? For every time we're angry, it was not the best of us that was in motion. Next part of scripture, it then says, therefore lay aside all filthiness. So the writer here is trying to achieve something, and that is the corresponding action of faith. Are we together? That if you are a Christian, you should prove by your actions that you are a Christian. It's trying to achieve something in this part of scripture. So therefore lay aside all what? Filthiness and overflow of wickedness. Lay it aside and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Next part of scripture. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. I'll be looking at some key points which are not really just within the line. If you go back to verse 21, he said, at the tail of verse 21, he said, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word of God, which is able to what? Save your souls. So what can the word of God do? It has a potency toward Savior. So, isn't it? Just, you may not see it as important, but we'll come to realizing how important this is. Next part of scripture. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Right now, he has said to us that the anger of man does not reveal the righteousness of God. And he goes ahead to tell us that we should do away with all filthiness and all overflow of wickedness and receive God's word that has the potency to save our souls. Alright? He said, be doers of the word and not just hearers. Only deceiving yourselves. In other words, James is making us understand that it is possible to be hearing the word of God and be living another way. Okay? Be hearing God's word but be living like you are not a Christian. He's saying that's very, very possible. And what he's trying to achieve by his writing here is so that Christians will not only be Christians by talking, alright, and by all the music and etc., but in manifestation too. I don't know if I can get that other part. There's a particular scripture I'm trying to find, Pastor Ed. Because I noted that scripture down to explain something around this light. Just get it for me first. Are we together? Hallelujah to Jesus. Alright, next part of scripture. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Next part of scripture. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forget what kind of man he was. You know, for many years, I used to think this thing is deeper than it sounds. Only for me to realize not too long that it's as it sounds. That's how it is. Trying to see one very powerful revelation there, but that's how James meant for it. That if you hear the word of God, is trying to relate this with the natural man, with man. Okay? That you go to the mirror, you see how you look, and when you go out there, you forget how. Imagine you were wearing white, for instance. You wore white before leaving the house and you checked yourself out. You are wearing white and you're looking fine and the rest. Then you now go outside forgetting you wore white. Then you start eating food without taking caution. You know, and the food has a lot of red oil. Now as you eat, you get to stain yourself. Or with white cloth, you say you want to play football. Are we together? Or you want to do one or two activities that can stain your white. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's what James is talking about here. He said, the person that will hear the word of God and will not do it is like one that having seen himself in the mirror, goes out, forgets about how he looks and starts living in an opposite direction. Are we together? That's what he's trying to talk about here. It's not so deep. And immediately I read that part of scripture, my mind went somewhere. Matthew 13, from verse 19. That's the first place my heart went to. Can we read together? 1, 2, read. All right now. So this paints a picture for us that if anyone hears the word of God, goes back home and starts living in an opposite direction than what the word has said, it is because Satan stole the word from his heart. Are you listening? He stole the word from your heart. Like James will say, he said, he that hears the word and will not do the word is like he that what? Seeth his natural face in the mirror, and when he is done, he goes away and forgets everything. So if we see somebody who always comes to church, for instance, and is not living like a Christian, one thing comes to mind. Satan stole the word from that person. And when he says Satan is stealing the word from you, it doesn't mean that he's carrying his hand and choking in your heart and removing the word. He will bring other activities that will distract you. Are we together? You see yourself becoming more into activities that may not even look like they are irrelevant, but will be distracting you from being focused on God's word. You know, there are a lot of information. But the information that can get you perfect the way God wants you to be perfect is God's word. Are you guys listening to me?
Yes, sir.
A lot of information, some secular, not worldly, secular information that are very important. Now imagine somebody working so hard to be a graphic designer, the best graphic designer. He can't remember the last time he prayed. You see, the pursuit is not bad. You're trying to become the best graphic designer. But you see, since you are not focused on God's word, if you become the best graphic designer, Satan can use you. Are you listening to me? Satan can use you. He can give you a kind of amount that you will not say no to. And you see, that your potential, that graphic designer ability, he will use it for his own glory. I'm talking about Satan. But you see, if you are studying graphic design very well, you want to become the best, yet you have time to pray at least an hour every day. You have time to speak God's word, to look at God's word. It's a proof that when you get up there like Daniel, God will use you. He will use what you have for his glory. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You know, I always tell Christians, for me, I like to strike the balance. Don't just pray too much. Read very well. You've heard me say these things very well. But again, I've told you people, imagine you get to certain heights. Think, for instance, what is happening lately. We're talking with about it in the office with some pastors. How that certain Nollywood stars reject certain roles in certain movies. Have you seen news like that? You know, some big names. And I don't know if this is true, but I saw one, that lady that had acted Black Panther lately, that she rejected a very juicy offer. Some of you saw it, right? And you'll be wondering, what is there? If I say I don't want to act like this, I don't want to promote this kind of thing in the movie you are trying to put me into, future me into, it's not supposed to be a problem. Maybe we have choices, and we're supposed to respect people's choices. You know, that's why I told you people, you know, as somebody that really follow American politics, because it's nice to follow. I don't follow Nigerian politics, so I don't know a lot of things that happen in Nigerian politics. I just know that some people are bad. I just know that you should not vote APC. That's just all I know in Nigerian politics. Amen. And if you say vote PDP, I don't even know what you are voting there. Now there's one they call ADC. It's just a bunch of confusion for me. And when we see the people there, we are wondering, are we going forward or we are just changing baton? Alright, so I'm not trying to downplay Nigeria, okay? Nigeria is a great nation.
Yes, sir.
And the proof is you and I. We are great people. We don't just know what those people are doing up there. So I like to follow American politics because it's interesting. And they are trying to fight for an ideology to reign in that nation. There are certain people who are Democrats and certain people who are Republicans. And it's not just like APC, PDP. It's a certain mindset they are trying to push you, certain agenda. The Democrats believe people should have the freedom to choose and do anything they want to do. Call them liberals, right? Then the Republicans say no. We want to insist on values, certain values and the rest, especially for the fact that America was built on kingdom principles and it has sustained America for many years. And they believe the reason why America seems to be going down or decaying is because they left those wonderful values. Are we together? Now, the whole world may not agree to this, but it's true. For me, I'm a Republican. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? In terms of their politics, they did not bomb me there. Do you get what I'm trying to say? If they are bad side to Republicans, I'm not part of it. The only good side. I believe only in the good side of it. Alright? Now, not everybody may agree with that school of thought. That is why immediately the other party won one time, they had to do a prayer in the name of Jesus and other gods. They now said, Amen. How many of you heard that prayer at that time? They joined Jesus with every other god. You know, the other gods in the realm of the spirit, I wish they saw what was happening. The other gods were like, you people should not join our head with Jesus. But they thought they were doing a nice thing. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? How can you call Jesus and call Buddha? Or you call
and any other god you want to call. It's so funny. But in their own civilization, they felt like they were just being liberal for everybody. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They wanted everybody to feel among and feel welcome. So they are like, if you choose to worship this, no problem. We are liberals. We should just, you know, we should just come together and just believe. And that is why that regime attempted to have what they called one world order. You heard of that thing? One world religion. It's very impossible. Alright? For instance, right? If I go in an assembly where there are Muslims and Christians, I will respect the Muslims if they want to pray. I will not distract them. But I don't believe in their ways. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? But I will respect anything they want to do. But I don't believe in it. Are you people getting the difference here now? So, it's now, for we Christians, it is funny if you want us to have a one world religion. Are you trying to say we should bite into Christianity a little bit and bite into Islam and Buddhism a little bit and join it together as one world religion? It's not possible. Because we believe that Jesus is what? The way. The what? The truth. And what? The life. You know, one funny thing is that we don't have a lot of Christians who are on fire than a lot of people in the opposite religions who are on fire. Let me explain what I mean on fire in the opposite religion. Some of these guys can kill for their beliefs. You know, how do you get to train an intelligent man, somebody who has a PhD in mathematics, to believe that if somebody, now you have PhD in mathematics, and you believe that if somebody said your God is a fool, he should be killed. And you with a PhD can carry stone to kill the person. How did such a person metamorphose? You know, that simply means, should we say he didn't go through school? He's the one that just went through school, but the school did not go through him. I don't know how to put it, because if you are educated, such a thing cannot fly. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? For instance, it's just that we are scared to talk about certain things in our nation. For instance, there was a time they killed a dear young lady, Deborah, and nothing has been done till today because she said certain things. I'm not sure she said your God is an idiot. You know, she just said certain things that made them believe she disrespected their God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And they came out in their mass and stoned her to death. And one of the things they will say is, God be praised, Allahu Akbar. You understand what I'm trying to say? So such mentality, such thing will happen, and educated people who are ruling will say there is nothing to do about it because that's our religion. It's sad. But that's not the point I'm trying to make. I'm like, it's only Christians that can say, what's that guy's religion? You say it's Buddhism. So let him become president. We think he has the potential because of how he spoke nice. And if some of us are saying, no, it will not work well, they'll be like, get out, you are just religious fanatics. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Because, and it's not that it's entirely bad. As Christians, we see the broader picture. The problem is that some of these people who are claiming that we are religious fanatics for saying such people should not be president, I'm speaking in parables, they are not even on fire. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They are not on fire. Are you listening to me? Am I making sense to some of you? They are not. Most indisciplined Christians that talk like that. Just like somebody said that one time, and say, somebody that say a pastor should change his church to hospital. I heard he says a presidential aspirant. He said Dr. Paul should change his church to hospital. And Mama T was saying, what do I think of the guy? I said, as long as Nigeria lives, he will never become president. It's the truth. I said, God will not allow him to become president. Because see, he has not even become president. He's saying they should change church to hospital. When he becomes president now, he will start signing papers. Go and close down that church. Go and close. Because, you know, a lot of people think Church is part of Nigeria's problem. Some people that are unhappy with themselves, they think church is part of the reason why they are not happy with themselves. Do you know if you have good roads and you have light 24/7? Huh? And fuel is 100. You know you will not be thinking about church being your problem. Huh? You know the pain is that in this economy you are still seeing pastors driving Rolls Royce. That's the pain. Like Bishop Oyedepo's birthday, they took 2 Rolls Royce and kept. And the whole Nigerians, not the whole world, the whole Nigerians, most Nigerians almost died. They say, let him sell it. They give somebody gift. You are telling him what to do with it. The man never spoke about the gift. That's the one you saw. What of the ones you did not see? You know, if you don't see the value of a thing, you will not see the importance. All those gifts they are giving now, be wondering, why? There are people he has imparted that think he deserves those things. You know, one time I was talking with a brother. This is not part of our teaching, but I'm just chipping in, okay? I was talking with a brother, a certain brother, and he was so pained. He's not really, really a Christian like that. A secondary school friend. So one day we got to see and we're talking. He was like, well, you know, you are a pastor. I want you to explain certain things to me because I'm really against pastors in this country. I said, even me too. I'm against some pastors. He was like, I said, yes. You think it's every pastor I believe? There are some people who are not pastors. They are just disgracing pastors, the pastoral office. And sometimes I think it's because of those people that they insult every pastor. Are we together? Are you here? So it was like, churches are not supposed to be, you know, why would they be building 150,000 capacity when we don't have road? Why would they be building, you know, the 150 capacity, I think yet we have in manifestation 100 capacity, 100,000 capacity, right? The one in Abuja is over 100,000, if I'm not. Is it up to? Yes, 100,000 capacity. The question is, are people filling the church every Sunday? That's the first question you should ask. So it's not a waste. If you can build 150,000 capacity for people to sit down and watch Chelsea match, people have not seen it like this. 150,000 capacity, people will sit down. I think there's even more. And watch Chelsea match. PSG Chelsea. Tickets fully sold out. I mean, they put money, people bought and enter. You say, oh, football is adding to the economy. Okay, to the pocket, not to the economy. To the pocket of the people that own the club and the players playing it. You that is watching, it's not adding anything to your economy. Let's be sincere. All the pains you are having, can I be sincere with you people this evening? All the pains, because I heard one time someone died because of a football match, things like that. God bless their soul. But all those pains, like some of you now that Chelsea won, you wanted to die. All those pains and etc. will add nothing to your bank account. If you won't get paid too much, you die. And if you are not right with God, you go to hell. Because Chelsea won. Well, we all know Chelsea are not supposed to win. It's a coincidence. And it's football. Sorry if you're a Chelsea fan. You know, it's normal. But this is the point. 150,000 people feel there. They watch football, they buy the ticket. This one is free. And what they are receiving is more important than what they are receiving when people are playing football. What do you gain when you watch football? So my IQ used to improve. I understand maths better. Really? Let's be sincere. Most of you that watch football serve and don't read your books, you always used to fail. They know when they bought postcodes. They know how many goals postcodes scored. Mention 5 physics formula. 5. I'm going too far. 3. Ask them 2 laws in chemistry. But they know how old is postcodes' first son. They know when Rooney started football. The year he was in an academy. They know how many World Cup Brazil won. They know how many Champions League Ronaldinho has. They know who his father is. But how many... You people are doing like you don't understand what I'm trying to say. Some of you know worse than all this. You know the history of football. You are football. Football is you. You have it in your head. But it will ask you two mass formula. No. But when you come to church, you receive God's word. Jesus went to church. Hope you know. The Bible says as his culture was, he always went to the temple. Meaning the father and the mother were taking him to church every Saturday or Sunday. In their days, I think it's Saturday. They were going to church on the Sabbath. Every time. After a while, they would see him preaching to certain, arguing doctrine with certain people. Are you listening to me? Don't allow anybody make you scared about your faith. So like I was saying, it is Christians that are not on fire that talk anyhow. You see them on Facebook talking anyhow. They are not wise. We're not trying to compare. You have never seen an imam that you had the impetus to talk against on Facebook. Have you ever seen? Go and put an imam's picture and start talking about it. They will locate you. But they will join you to insult your pastors. And if you're even a wise person, even if you don't like a pastor, are you supposed to insult him? If you're really mature, if you don't like somebody, are you supposed to insult the person? It means you are not a good person. You have bad home training. It's the truth. Assumptions are the lowest form of knowledge, but a lot of people, especially in Nigeria, they work on assumptions. Is a thief, is a dad, is a blah blah blah. You know, sometimes I tell my wife, I said, God gives a people the kind of leader they deserve. You people are shouting Fulani, Fulani. Okay, the next election will come. We'll see who you vote. After just two mudu of rice, you see how people will change their decision. Just two. I was somewhere. Somebody collected star, bottle of star, and change. I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Pastor, I beg. All these people corrupt. You change." Are you all here tonight? Be bold about your faith. Tell somebody, be bold about your faith. They want to talk down church. Tell them the importance of church. Jesus said, "Do not neglect the word gathering of brethren." Do not neglect it. It's very important. As you are seated here, you are receiving God's word. And Satan does not want it. He has come but to what? To what? He doesn't want you seated in this church. Right now. Satan doesn't want you to sit here. Paul prophesied about the end time. He said, young people will become rebels of the truth. Rebels of the truth. That the truth will be hurting them. It will be paining them. You want to fight for the truth. When you hear truth, it is paining. You want to fight. If most people would just listen without any form of biases, they will not be foolish in life. But many people listen with a lot of biases. As they are hearing, they have concluded with their own opinions. They don't want to understand. There's a saying that says you listen to understand, not to reply. Many listen to reply, not to understand. Are you all listening to me? You have to be bold about your faith. So like I was saying about the politics in the US, the Republicans and the Democrats, they believe anything goes. And if you observe for the past years that they ruled, America have become another thing. You know, we used to celebrate them many years ago, first in science, first in this. But right now, I don't think they're even up to 16. I was hearing one news one time. They are not. I think they're 16th in science. It's not first, second, third, fourth, tenth. In yes, is it sciences or mathematics they were saying? Trying to be sure. Why? People are not thinking straight. You give birth to a child at 5, he's saying, I want to be a woman. Which brain will you use to think? a boy. And to show you how bad the system is, he's been taught, listen, in school, as a child, he's been taught that he can choose his gender. Now somebody comes and says these things are wrong, and is implementing the right one, they are now against him. And they are now pushing us, who are in Africa, to be against that kind of person. Are you get what I'm trying to say? Some of you are blindly just against people who are doing the right thing. Blindly against. That's why one time I had to talk one in church. I said, some of you against the US president because you heard that he's denying you visas. You don't think deep. You don't think deep. Will you prefer somebody that give you visas so that you take your children there and don't change men to women and women to men? Let's assume he's actually not giving you visas, which is a lie. He's actually telling people who are illegally registered there, they are not legally registered, to come back and get their papers arranged and go legally. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And he's insisting that you develop your nation. And I'm not saying that he's the most perfect man. He may have one or two wrong things that he's actually implementing. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? But which one is worst? Or which one is better? That you have one that will scatter the system and destroy your children, or one that will do the right thing and insist you too, as Africans, do the right thing. Which one is better? So the enemy has come, but to what? Steal, kill, destroy, like I said. He is the one that will make sure that the word of God is not stable in your heart, the enemy. He will create all forms of destruction. All forms of destruction. Are you aware that certain people here, you grew up hating certain things, not because you know the truth about it, but because they told you and they taught you to hate them? Do we have people like that here? You don't even know the reason why you hate certain things. You were just taught to hate them. I used to be in a denomination and they told us, they used to mock the Pentecostals in the denomination. I don't know how God helped me to start understanding the truth, even in that place. They would tell us a lot of things and jokes and make them look like they are rubbish. But as I grew up, somehow the light of God started entering my heart. And I asked the question, where is it written? I asked a lot of questions. As a young child, I would carry the Bible and said, is there any book more important than this? And they would say, no. So I would say, this is more important than. Where is it written? And if there's no proof, I don't follow. That's how I started becoming a rebel, small, because of the truth. Are you all listening to me? That's how I started becoming a rebel. A rebel for the truth, a righteous one. And somehow I want you to understand Satan means business. He means a lot of business. He has come, but to what? To what? To what? And when I say he means business, he can send people your way to distract you from the truth. Are you aware God inspired via an angel Philip in scripture? Is it Philip? Yes. And told him to go and meet a man who was traveling, the eunuch. Can you remember? Was it Philip? He told him to go and meet him. Told him to pass through a certain direction and go and meet him and expound the scriptures to the man. Meanwhile, when he went there, the man was already reading the scriptures. Are you aware Satan too has inspired people to go and distract other people? Are you aware? The closest we can see is what he tried doing with Jesus. What did Jesus tell Peter? Get behind me, Satan. He can inspire people to come and stand in your front and cause you to leave the path of righteousness. He can inspire friends to cause you to walk in the wrong direction. You are in a warfare. I tell you the truth. What will make you to win and live like the devil never existed is that you are always focused on Jesus Christ. That you don't forget whatever you hear. Not a forgetful hearer of the truth. If you always keep on forgetting Of course, it is because, firstly, your heart is not in the right direction. All right, let me put it like this. Instead of saying the heart is not in the right direction, don't write that. If you find out you hear the word of God and don't do it, I'll use Luke 6 verse. It is because you don't know Christ. If you know Christ, the empowerment, the Bible said the word of God has the potency. Remember I said, I'll come back there. It said when you receive the word, it has the power to save you. Are we together? If you understand the word of God, if you truly understand Christ, Luke 6 will say, you're on the rock. And even when the troubles of life come, you will never be subdued. Are we together? Because you are where? On the rock. Are you listening to me? Very important. You're on the rock. Now, imagine you truly understand Christ and you still will hear the word of God and not do it. What is the second problem? The second problem is that you have a lot of things around you that distract you. And one of those things could be friends, you know, so much unnecessary activities. And when I say friends, it's very important. The Bible says wrong company corrupt what? Good manners. When you have the wrong friends, they will fill your heart with rubbish. And when you are left alone, those rubbish in your heart will start finding expression. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart with what? It says, for from it flows the issue. So guard wrong things getting into your heart. Are you listening to me? Very important. So your circle must be positive. They must be positive people, not negative people. Faith-filled people. Faith what? Feed people. People who always speak faith, not emotions. Are you listening to me? If you are around people who always are subjected by their emotions, you will never be able to fulfill destiny. People who love to cry, who love to say pitiable things. Yeah, this one, blah, blah, blah. You will never be able to fulfill destiny. Be around faith-filled people. Are you listening? So your friends, very important. Now, I was talking to someone yesterday and I said, are you aware that when trials and temptation come your way, the purpose is to steal God's word? It is to steal God's word. At the beginning of this part of scripture in James 1, you see James saying, count it all joy. When you are what? Faced with diverse trials and temptation. He said, count it all joy. Now, going further, around 18, is it 13 there about? He said, God does not tempt anyone with evil. But he said, when you see trials and temptation, count it all what? Joy. I was doing the math and I found out in Jeremiah 17:7, he said, when heat comes, you will not see it because you trust in the Lord. Yet he said, when there's heat and trials, he said, count it all joy. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? He said, because the heat and trial will work out your potentials. You take advantage of them and work out who you are, will truly find expression when you are faced with heat, which symbolizes trials and temptation. It's not bad to be tried. It's exciting if you know who you are. Are you listening to me? When Jesus taught them to pray at the start of school, at that point of their life, there's something he said that we should not use in the New Testament. He said, the Lord's Prayer, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. And what? That's not a prayer for the new creation. It was a prayer for them at that level of their faith. Listen, in 2 Corinthians 10, it said, God himself speaking to us through Apostle Paul, he said, there is no temptation that's ever come to you beyond your ability to overcome. You see that? He said, there is no temptation that has ever come to you. Then James is now telling you, count it all joy. So the mindset has to be different for new creations. Because at that time, Jesus was not resurrected. So there was no availability for new creations. It is only when you come into Christ, I mean, that you become what? New creations. And now, Jesus was not resurrected. That office was not yet in place. I even get what I'm trying to say. That office of the Christ. That's what the Bible said. No more Jesus in the flesh, but Jesus in the spirit. He said, in the same way as you are understanding Jesus in the spirit, no man after the flesh, but every man in the spirit. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah to Jesus. Fight, oh. Fight your focus. Sometimes you come to church with troubles. Come with all joy. You know the devil is a very cunning being. Many people don't know. He's a very cunning being, the devil. Oh my God. You see him just calm down like he's not interested. He's very interested. There's this season of my life that I was burning for God. If you are that kind of person, shut your mouth. I used to burn, eh? I was praying and fasting. What happened now? Maybe I need to pray like that again. Yeah, just reduce. Don't reduce. Those days when we used to fast 5 days, 10 days. What happened now? Shebi, you have belly. We are 9 months pregnant. Jesus said, go back to your first love. Did you see that part of scripture? Because over time, situation, troubles have made your fire to calm down. One of the ways to know that you are backsliding is that you start doing mild sins. Just mild little sins. You don't take the sins too serious. I was teaching my boys many years ago. I saw him message a lady. He said, hi, sweetheart. I looked at him. I said, sweetheart, you went beyond the walls of grace in your heart, and sweetheart found expression. He said, no, sahaba. I said, okay. He said, I'm being with sahaba, sir. Are you sure this is your thing? It's not small religion. I said, yeah. No problem. Not knowing that he has already fallen in love. You know, most of you don't want to agree with problems that you're already inside. Pastoring is very difficult too. The Bible says we watch it over your souls. I will hear you talk, I will see you, I will discern. I will say, come. Talk something, say, oh, no, sir. In fact, they will smile one smile of confidence. Sir, it's not me. Not at all. You now feel embarrassed. Say, oh, you can go. You are 100% sure. They are 1000% sure. But they still know something is wrong. But they don't want to admit it. You see two people in love. You tell them this relationship, from what I'm seeing, from the stories I've heard, it cannot work. You think they will hear you because at that point they are fighting. Then when they go back, it's like what you said, settle the fight. They'll go back and be boosted. I'll come back to you and say, sir, I think I can give it a try now. What? Then you now lift up your chest as a man of God and say, if I be a man of God, I'm telling you this will not work. Say, sir, is a nice person. Is he a nice person that will make marriage work? They've beat you like 3 times. Is a nice person. 3 times. Something is wrong with such a lady. Your esteem have died. Your self-esteem, it has what? If you are such a woman, they beat you. I'm saying this by the Spirit of God. They beat you, they insult you, they look down on you, yet you want to still marry. Your esteem has died. They don't even pick your call again. You are still calling and greeting on WhatsApp. Your esteem has died. You say good morning, they did not answer. You say good evening, they did not answer. You say good night. Good morning, yo. I'll be today too. You not answer me. Same thing for a man. And if you observe, it is the devil. When Adam and Eve ate from the wrong tree, he lied to them. He said, you are naked. They ran away from the presence of God. Their esteem died. They now had shame. Listen, when you see your nakedness, you have shame. I just broke a revelation. The Lord give you understanding. The day Adam and Eve saw their nakedness, they ran away from the presence of God. Now, what I'm trying to say is that as a lady, as a guy, you are in a relationship. You commit the sin of fornication. You have started killing the relationship already. All of a sudden, as a lady, your esteem dies, especially for the woman. It dies. Then for the men, they will think their esteem is boosted. No, it is your false claim of esteem that God boosts. It's called pride. And pride is a deceiver. It will make you feel you are up there. Meanwhile, you have not even reached anywhere. And the Bible said the proof of a fall is what? Are you listening to me? That's why the Bible says humble yourself before God. Humble yourself before what? Humble yourself before what? Humble yourself before what? Everybody is calling you fine boy. Fine boy. Fine boy. You start getting proud of yourself and start wanting to date everybody because you are a fine boy. Humble yourself before God. Before God, how many people are you supposed to marry? One. How many people are you supposed to like? One. Humble yourself before God. If not, you fall. The enemy is a liar. Many people today who have died, they never heard these things. They heard it enter, it came out from here. Sometimes you see young men on bed, HIV patients. They are decaying. They never wanted to hear. See, on your part of becoming an HIV patient, it's not, you may not obviously recognize that you're on that path. I don't know that you are getting what I'm trying to explain to you. It's so deep. Please listen to me carefully. It's that small, small. It's so mild. Like I say, mild sin. The proof of backwardness. How do they call it in Christendom? Backsliding. You are mildly chatting with five guests at a time. You are greeting them in the name of the Lord. But you see, there is no day that finishes that you will not talk to like three girls. Else you don't feel like you must talk with a girl. You're on the path already. You may think you are innocently doing it now. You're on that path. Sin used to grow. Bible talks about the cup of iniquity. It grows. You know, people will say, when your cup full, your cup too can fool in the realm of the spirit. Are you listening to me?
Yes,
it's that small. I heard a man of God saying some brothers will come and be hugging again anyhow. It's true. You that are struggling with lust, you see girls. You hug very well, my sister. When we talk, you say they are legalisms. They are under the law. We understand the finish. Oh, prophet taught us so well. I didn't teach you that aspect. Maybe you have ever seen me outside my wife carry a lady like this. Oh my dear. In this church. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Is that small? Small. Small, small. Train yourself. Oh. You can train yourself in righteousness. Oh. I trained myself. That's why I'm teaching you like this. I trained myself very well. While I was growing up, of course, I received trainings from people who are ahead of me. I actually also, via the word, trained myself. Is it when your senses are fully exercised by the word? That's Hebrews 5. Then you can come to that point that you can tell the difference between what? Wrongs and right. There are days I was talking as a young man to ladies and I'll ask myself, you just see me do my hand like this. Where are we talking? I'm going to. The next day, I don't reply. The next day, I don't message. The other day, if the talk is becoming another thing, I will tell you, we can't be chatting. If you are not happy, I remove you. I ask myself sincere question. It doesn't matter how beautiful you are. Where is the conversation going to? What are we supposed to get married? You don't just start talking to every beautiful lady. Every lady is beautiful after all. You don't just see anybody and start talking to them. Talking. The talk has nowhere. No magnitude. No direction. You just met at NYC camp. You are talking. It's not bad to greet. You have been talking with this lady. You have been talking. Now it's video call. When you are with boxers. When you are with skimpy. How did it take? You are just talking aimlessly. Where is the talk going to? Even you don't know. Then one day you say, the Lord showed me that she's my wife. I didn't expect it. You would have expected it. How will you not expect it? You are talking to somebody morning to night. You now see vision. It was a cloud you are gathering. When you slept, it emptied itself on you. You say, I saw a vision. Prophet was joining us and smiling. He was so happy for us. Kind of. That's prophet approval. Let's go and see prophet. Even if you come and tell me that I preach, you call the sermon I preach, you tell me the sermon, I'm not moved. Some of you that have come, you know what I'm trying to talk about. I'm not moved. I ask you through serious questions. In fact, there are some people I see, I just judge you from the entrance of the door. The way you play with girls, God cannot tell you now that you should marry. I know you go back home. It starts small. Are you listening to me? Go back home. These little things, they affect your work with God, directly or indirectly. You hear the word of God and go back home. You go and chat with man till 1 a.m. She said, for what? Till 1 a.m. And if you check, they say they are joking. Have you? Hope you have feed your book before prophet will disgrace your son again. No, I'm not. See your bigger. Do you have you feed your own? There's no I love you inside. It's just joke. If you don't love her, why are you talking to her till 1 a.m.? There are guests that will message you just his. But that particular one, T1M, I'm speaking by the Spirit. It's you I'm talking to. You that you think is the one, is you. I say, I don't know. The boy took advantage of me. He took advantage of me. But after service, you go and tell him to send you the 20,000 I promised you at the beginning of the month. Yeah. 20,000 they promise you. You haven't reminded him. He's telling you your shape is mad, man. You're like, stop that, please. I'm a Christian. What of the 20,000 you promised me? Don't joke with your life. We may be laughing, but don't be serious with your life. How can God use you like that? Are you proud to tell this story to your children? He will not be proud. Are you all listening to me? You are serving God. You hungry catch you. You are now taxing irregular person on Facebook. He is seeing you on microphone leading prayer. You are taxing him on Facebook. You are trying to invite him to church. He is not coming yet. He is still scoping. You are taxing him. So that 20,000 I told you, how far now? You are a disgrace to the kingdom. They've removed you from us. You are not part of us. It's not us you are representing. See, God hates disgrace. I hope you are aware. He said, Abraham, don't collect anything from that king so that he will not say, I favored Abraham. There's some hungry that must catch you as a Christian. It's hunger of holy hunger. As long as you not beg, let the hunger catch you. Change it to fasting. One day you have not eaten, be glad. You are on your path to dry fast. See, don't misbehave. Are you listening to me? Do not. Hungry is catching you now. You say, we've chosen the right path. Some of my friends, they are doing hookup. I've chosen the right path in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory. Then hungry catch you. You are taxing a brother on Facebook. Very soon, you join your friends. And it will be sad because you wasted your time. You'd have joined them since. Are you listening to me? You know, there's a case that came to me like that. I was so mad. Who told you that as a woman, your job is to be taxing people? Are you police? Anybody that passes your path draws money. Are you police? Marry somebody, say no, does not have, I don't think what he has can cater for me, my children, and myself, and him. You know, ladies, if you set your eyes on rubies, right, you hardly marry the right man. No man who knows what he's doing wants a thief for a wife. No man under heaven. You know, most great men like it when you come to them when they don't have money. They are very happy. They know they don't have money, but they are happy when they find a woman that likes them when they don't have money in manifestation yet. And any man that have money and you come to, he knows you want to chop his money. They know. They know. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
Very important. That's why you should work for your money. Work to get your own money. I was hearing a testimony today with my wife, Prophet Uba Angel, sharing how that he was surviving on his wife's salary for years. His wife's salary was what they were using in the house for years. All she was believing was vision, no provision. Then he said the worst of it is I now told her to quit her job. She was lecturing in, I think, UK. So he said, quit your job. The Lord says you should quit. She has not still seen evidence. How many of you will quit? It's me and Sharma in this service today. Say by the grace of God. She quits. But let's forget about the quitting part. How many of you will feed your husband for years? I don't want to get into this acrimony thing. I don't want to even hear that. Because I'm not in any argument in this world. I'm just teaching my thing. But how many of you? How many of you will agree? I don't have a business with acrimony. Please, teaching the word. Because I heard people arguing about that thing. I don't want to be part of that argument. But how many of you as women will feed your husband for years? Today, if they say, oh, by the angel, the whole world will bow. Ah, there's money. He has banks everywhere. He has oil wells, dollars, gold. If you call his name, you just talk about money. He has a lot of money. But there was a time his wife was feeding him. Listen, let me tell you something about God. Emotions don't move God. Tears don't move God. God is a very disciplined father and loving father at the same time. How many of you have been whipped by your father before? But you don't have any doubt that your father loves you. Let me see your hand. How many of you have been whipped by your father? Let me see your hand. Nigerians, your father have not flogged you before. If your father has flogged you, raise your hand up. Cynthia is not raising her hand. They've not flogged you before. Eh? If they flog you, let me see your hand up. Now, all of you that are raising your hand, how many of you have doubts that your father hated you the day he was flogging you? let me not say that time. Now that you are matured, how many of you will say your father used to hate you? You see why he flogged you? Are you seeing all the reasons why he flogged you? Imagine they did not flog you. Where would you be by now? All those things you wanted to do that time would have killed you by now. But because of his love for you, he carried the cane. He knew what the cane would do to you. 3 mark koboko. He knew the effect. Yet he didn't spare. Pew! When you shouted, Daddy! Pew! He wanted to remove that demon by all means. But the Bible says, he that the father loves, what does he do? Chastises. Count it all joy. Hungry, catch you, you are crying. Oh God, are you okay? With the word of God in your spirit, the word of God in your soul, you are crying. How do you prove your word of God? You are in a class, a fine girl is liking you. You do like you don't know her. That's how you prove God's word in your heart. You don't want to have her number. You don't want to even talk to her. Only thing that joy you tell is greeting. Because sometimes when we talk this, we are not putting this application. Some of you don't understand. You'll be claiming you are anointed and going to be following women out there. Resist it. It's the truth. Years ago, I asked a friend. I said, when God created Adam, who did he create? He said, Eve. I said, did he create any other lady apart from Eve? He said, no. I said, that means God created Adam and Eve, and he gave Adam grace for only Eve. Man is a man. A man has a nature of diversity. I mean, how do they used to put it? Varieties. Man cannot be a lot of useless theories. You know, like one popular singer that said lately that a man is not designed to sleep with one woman. And some of you are like, it's true, he's right. You know, you have to think. I'm not insulting him. God bless his soul wherever he is. But he has a wrong mentality. That's a wrong mentality. I was sitting with somebody said, but that thing, pastor, that thing two-faced said, but you know it's true. He was trying to do something for me, one of the ministries, and I turned to him, I said, it is not true. He said, I knew you would not say, you say it's not true, but prove it. I started proving it to him. He said, but that's true. Yes. That's God created one man for what? One woman. One. You start fighting that thing. This cheating does not start when you are married. It starts from now. From now. As a young man, you start fighting that those traces from what? Now. You enter this relationship, you come out. Enter this one, you come out. Enter this one, you come out. It's a proof you cheat. You are in a relationship, you are talking with a friend, with another lady there. You are talking with them. The worst of them is those that report their relationship to another girl that is liking them. You will cheat. So it is for women. When you leave church, don't forget who you are. There should be a set of activities that you go back home and do. Meditation of the word. If it's not, you can have your own set of activities. Maybe when you go back home, a lot happens in your mind when you play worship songs, especially some kind of worship song. Play it often. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Play it often. Do what works for you. And start thinking the word. Don't just play it. Make sure you are meditating on the word. Don't just be listening to songs. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You can place strings sometimes. And that's why you should listen to songs that have a lot to do with the revelation of Christ. Because when you are listening to songs, you are drinking from the wells of those people. You are drinking from their wells. From their spirit. Are you listening to me? That is why I like to listen to songs that teach me, that talk about Christ very, very well. The finished work of Jesus. I like it. Meditate on God's word. Satan's job is to make sure that he steals the word from you. Are you listening to me? He will create a lot of situations around you to steal the word from you. your dad and your mom are having issues. He's trying to steal the word. There's a problem with your younger brother. He's trying to steal the word. He just wants to steal your joy. Steal the word of God. Because if you don't have joy, you cannot concentrate on the Holy Ghost. You can't concentrate on the word. He said, with joy we draw from the wells of salvation. And how do we sustain our joy? By the word. He said, I've given you my word so that my joy is sustained, is in you and sustained in you. In other words, when you are seeing yourself not happy at all, the word of God has been stolen from your heart. Your gaze is not set on Jesus. As long as you are unhappy, you are not seeing Jesus. The Bible says the author and finisher of your faith is Jesus. Set your gaze on the word. That's where your life starts from and end. Alone. See, whatever you set your eyes on, the Bible said your whole body is filled with that thing. It's filled with the experience of that thing. That's what the Bible said. It said if your eyes are flooded with light, it said your whole body. Because what you see in the spirit, you become. At least we have what to eat. We are faring well. Common water we don't have. These are people that God opened recipe for them that can't drink water now. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And God took you away from the world, brought you into the Christendom, and you are in a point in your life where things are tough. And you are wondering what the heck is happening. Listen carefully. Are you following me tonight? It didn't change the fact that it was God that parted the Red Sea, but yet right now there's no food. And when they murmured, God was not excited they murmured. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He cursed them manna from heaven. They ate. He said to them, don't remain it. Don't remain it. Let me show you why they took so much time in the wilderness. Don't remain it. The people remained it. They remained it. I know some of you are saying, listen, is manna that is their own case? Check your own life well. The Lord give you understanding. They say, don't talk, you still talk. They say, don't come late, you came late. You are seeing manna. When last did you come early for a rehearsal? After you were told not to come late, you still majestically walk late because nothing will happen. Your wilderness is very, very long. See, I'm not a preacher of bad news, I'm just telling you fact. What then happened? After a while. Now, this is the same God giving them cloud by day, natural AC, fire by night, natural warmth in the night. They were excited. They were living very well. Living, enjoying. Their cloth did not fade. Their sandals did not cut. Their legs, after trekking for many years, did not swell. No sickness. Nothing happened to them. Then all of a sudden, just because there was no water for some moment, they started shouting. That's human being. Forgotten that Moses parted the Red Sea. The same God that parted the Red Sea, now they are shouting. Shouting for Moses. It is God they are complaining to, but through the man of God. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to explain. This is your God that you are representing for us. He's making his blah, 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 blah. It is God, but they are using Moses. I'm just putting Moses in the picture. These kind of people, if you are God, you want them to go and represent you. A people who are not patient. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Let me show you another point. They left Egypt. Egypt have not finished living there. This is the proof. Moses went to the top of the mountain for how many days? Huh? Before he came down, they've created what? An idol, a golden calf, and they wanted to start worshiping it. Are you listening to me? They wanted to what? Worshiping it. You know, I use that to explain something on leadership. Let me just chip it in a little bit. Aaron was under pressure. Moses said, gave instruction to Aaron. Aaron was now under the pressure of the people. Aaron now said, okay, bring all the gold you have. He gave them what they wanted. You know, that's bad leadership. You don't give people what they want, you give them what they need. And an idol can represent a lot of things. A lot of things in the life of people. Let's take for church now. An idol can be nicely speaking, somebody who never has. From the first year in church, the second year in church, his 5 years in church, he never has. Unless the hatred is always paying his transport. 5 years in church. If you don't talk to that person, he will die a loser. It's the truth. As we're growing, I paid transport for some of these pastors you are seeing here to come to church. I don't do it anymore. Many years ago, I stopped because they cannot do it for themselves. Are you together? I'm trying to explain to you. Sometimes as a leader, you're under the pressure of the people. They are coming. Don't fall to the pressure. Insist on the word. Insist on the instruction of the Holy Spirit. This one is more like a leadership talk, but it's the truth. But the major point is this. They began worshipping an idol. See, they thought they left Egypt, but Egypt had not left them. It has not. Imagine they were in the promised land. One day, they will create an idol and start worshipping in the promised land. You know what that means? Imagine you are in heaven, one day you start worshipping Satan. Inside heaven. Imagine how sad that thing will be. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. These guys, you know, that was, let's take 15 years to go. Now, it's like 15 years in the wilderness. And after 15 years, these people are worshipping an idol. And they were thinking, it's too long, this wilderness journey is too long. And now you are still worshipping an idol. Father, I've been serving you, this is 3 years now. And blah, 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 blah. But look at the way you are still talking. You are still impatient. When you feel hungry, you post it on your status. When you feel bad, you post it on your status. What's mean of sometimes life is not easy, but that's not a Christian. Imagine your pastor is posting every season of his life on Facebook. How many of you here will survive? You would think you survive. I'm weakening you. Pastor just come on Facebook and say, ah, life is tough for a pastor. Imagine, since yesterday, me and my wife have not eaten. Then they begin to do general collection for pastor. You are weakening your faith. Are you listening to me? Don't post emotional things. Don't talk emotional things. Don't be emotional. Don't be subjected to your emotions. Sometimes it can be like that. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Especially, you know, most times the reason why you are like that, you are comparing your life with others. Others who are not going your direction. You became born again. You now have a call on your life, probably. Then you think your path will be different, will be the same with everybody's path. See how? See my younger sister, she have married. 3 children. Here am I. Waiting for the right man. It's well. You know, one time I was talking to one of our ladies here, and while we're talking, she said, sir, how is your younger sister? She's fine. Sir, she has married. Oh, was it this week is her marriage, sir? I said, oh, that's nice. How old is she? She said, yeah. I said, okay, wow. And she's my younger sister. I said, there's no problem at all. I know where she was going to. I said, there is no problem at all. Thank God for her life. And I reminded her. I said, I hope you know where you are going to. The call of God is mighty upon you. Your consecration is different. Are you all listening to me? It's different. When I was growing up, I didn't do everything everybody was doing. I didn't do it. I didn't talk everything everybody was talking. While I was a student, some of you knew me as a student, I was not where everybody was staying. You won't find me everywhere. My consecration was different because I knew the call of God upon my life. I couldn't do what everybody was doing. For instance, one of the things as a student I never done was cheating an exam. I would never cheat in an exam. I couldn't have cheated in any exam. The thought of who I am, I couldn't forget it. In class, I'm a man of God. When I didn't even know the answer, I filled with joy. How can you be a Christian and you are cheating in an exam? It's not a joke. Don't joke about it. And don't laugh about it. Like you turned your head to look at your neighbor's work. And you think it's fun? As a Christian, you represent Jesus, light of the world. And you did like this. Oh, you say, oh, number three. They said, C. As a Christian. Are you listening to me tonight? But that's not the focal point. Look at the children of Israel as a case study. Look at it. And if you watch, it's not God's fault at all. When he told them about the promised land, remember, he did not tell them that there were giants there. I hope you are aware. He said the land is flowing with what? Milk and honey. They went there, they saw milk and honey. The third thing they saw was determined their conclusion. We saw the characteristic of the land. It's truly flowing with milk and honey. But there are giants in the land. And when they were done, the Bible said, God said, they said an evil report in his ear. And he was displaced. What was the evil report? They spitted out fact over faith. They are giants. And we are grasshoppers. It pained God. They say we are like grasshoppers. Nigeria economy is tough. I wonder how it is today. Wow. That pains the Holy Spirit. You are grieving the Holy Ghost. These things are not joke. They are not a joke. You admire great people. This is the path they took. Oh, I love Oral Roberts. Oh, Lester Sumrall. Oh, Ketun Kumar. Oh, bless they are. Thank God for their lives. Maria Woodward Etta. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank God for these great people. Kenneth Hagin. Smith Wigglesworth. You are happy. Wow, glory to God for their lives. Why do you think they are great people today? Because they passed that phase of their life gloriously. Are you listening to me? They passed it. Are you here tonight? And so you have to pass it. If you feel hungry, be happy. Just be happy. Be plain. You couldn't eat. Be excited. Don't show it to anybody, not even your neighbor. You think it's when you tell your neighbors you are hungry, they will give you money? How many times have you begged your uncles for money? How many times did they give you? But you know the Holy Ghost can wire it into somebody's heart. Send the signal into his heart. He can look at you with your fresh lips like you ate spaghetti and chicken. But he still say, I want to give you $700,000. I want to give you $7,000. I want to give you $15,000. It just feels like giving you money. Not because you were hungry, but because you were in faith. It is by faith you receive from the Holy Ghost. Not by wrong display of emotions. By crying, by telling people your problem, by posting your problem. I don't know. Let me see who is the good Samaritan that will subscribe for me this evening. That's foolishness. Her life is hard. Oh, my gas has finished. But nobody knows. Now the whole world knows. Serving God properly. Then you tell a young man who has been asking you out from Adam. You tell him, can you just help me? I couldn't pay my school fees. Is it your God? Is he your God? If you don't learn how to bring water from the rock early, you cannot serve God for long. You must compromise. You know, many years ago, I remember I bought one of my pastors a phone. Many years ago. So when I bought him a phone, another time, I think something now happened, he now needed money. So he now came to me. So I gave him a little part of the money. And I said, go and bring water from the rock. I said, sir, what does that mean? I said, go and pray. Let God give you the money. I said, if I keep on doing like this, you will not grow. Go and pray. I want to see that. Tell me when God answered your prayer. He went and fasted and was praying. Till the solution came even double. He now called me. I was happy. that he came and said, you see, you have learned how to bring water from the rock. So that when I send you out there, you won't be begging your members. You learn to trust God alone. Are you listening to me? See, there are days I see testimony. I'm even preaching. If they allow me, I would have cried. I tell you the truth. I'm preaching. I came preaching. And the Lord will just call somebody. You send 200,000. I'm preaching. I saw it. You see me just do like nothing happened. If I got into my emotions, I would have said, oh God, you are great. I didn't think of it. I just said, let me preach. What's my business? Money comet. And I go ahead and preach. I really don't care. As long as I have what to eat and drink, we move. Say, I don't just want to eat. I want to eat burger today. I want to eat talia tonight. I want to eat chicken tonight. You don't know who you are. You are not a Christian. Yes, yes. When you have the money, eat nice things. When you have not seen the money yet, don't start telling God, God, it must be talia, it must be chicken. Eat what you have. If it is ijangada, do it and eat. And count it all joy, eating ijangada. You know what they call ijangada in Idomala? That dry okra that you just, very easy to prepare. People don't know what we have gone through. Those days when I'm coming to school, those days in 100 level, if my mother is putting me rice and everything, I'll say, Mommy, that grounded okra, you know, in Tiv language, I don't know what they call it. Body, oh my God, the name is heavy. Body, in Idoma is Ijangara. I will tell my mother, put it plenty for me. She will say, what is your problem? What do you want to use this thing to do in school? I will say, just put it. Just put it, ma. Don't worry. Just put it. Because when you are done eating the fish and everything, and there's no fish coming, there's one solution. You just put the water. You just make it, allow it to hold for. In fact, how it works, Steph, I don't know till now. I just know it used to work. Put the Maggi. Put small drop. I just be turning. Ooh. Then we'll do the eba plenty. All of us will just do generality. That thing has saved our lives many times. It has kept our eternal life intact in our body. Never complain and beg anybody for anything. So how can a fine girl like this be taking the jagada? Is Kodei that have made a lot of people to compromise? Kodei? Hello James, where are you going to? I'm going to high level roundabout. I beg, if you did come back, buy me two donuts, milky donuts from Steamfast. Where is the money? James, my darling. You see, that's witchcraft. Jamie, I know you do it, James. The guy know you are taking advantage of him, but if he's a wicked James, he's preparing his own time. Because the Bible says, as long as the earth remained, what? I was talking about that. You know, one pastor was saying lately, he said, girls will come to his office and say, he took advantage of me, he raped me, he will call police for some. Then one day, after police has arrested one, after a while, he now sent him a message. He said, sir, I did not do this. Shut up! He now sent him a message. The lady was apologizing. She was apologizing. She said, actually, I actually had a nice time, but I just wanted to put you in trouble. The pastor said he didn't know where to start from. What was the problem? Taking advantage. Buy me this. Buy me that. You are neighbors with a young man that always has gas, always has Indomie, always has spaghetti. You have been noticing the smells from his kitchen. There's gisha. You'll be entering every time to be carrying. One day they will lock the door. You not go outside. Especially for a Christian lady. You are a Christian. You are inviting him to church. See, you are disgracing. Let me tell you about people. If you want to be behaving like that, don't be inviting people to church. Don't put our church name inside. Just be living like that. Don't show them you are a GCMI or a Christian self. How can you be inviting somebody to church? One day, you now say, can you help me with 30,000? My gas finished, and my Indomie finished, and blah, 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 finished, and God will bless you. Can you help me with 30,000? It's indiscipline. And do you know people that borrow, they grow up and keep on borrowing? I was telling some people, while you are in your wilderness days, you don't understand why the children of Israel were 40 years inside. Look at your life sometimes. You are a born again. 7-10 years ago, you used to borrow before you became a born again. Anytime small thing happened to you, you want to borrow. Now it's 10 years as a Christian, you are still borrowing. You are wondering why you have not entered into prosperity. As long as you are borrowing, your eyes are on men, not God. Sometimes, no matter what you want to do, if it's no matter how important, you don't have the money, go and sleep. Forget about it. As long as you are not paying your school fees. This is something I have to get for my graduation. There's this pair of shoes I have to get for my graduation. There's this pair for your graduation. Let the graduation finish. Go and collect your certificate. Are you listening to me? We're reading part of the Bible in the book of Psalms. David said, I was young, now I'm growing old. I've never seen the righteous forsaking, nor the righteous what? Beg for bread. And I joked many years ago. I said, David, come to Nigeria and see something. He has never seen the righteous forsaken nor beg for bread. As the righteous refuse to be a borrower. A borrower is a what? Slave. To who? The lender. These are things that keep you in your wilderness experience for long. If you understand you are the righteous, you can't think like that. Are you listening to me? You can't think like that. Make up your mind. When you go back home, I say create an activity that you know will favor your spirituality. If it's gospel music, play it. So that you are not a forgetful hearer of the word. Keep on hearing the word of God. Let it get into your spirit. See, if you keep on hearing the word of God for so long, you will never talk unbelief. You will never talk defeat. You will never talk failure. No matter how you are pressured in life, you only speak God's word. Did you read it in Jeremiah 17:7? Let's see it in the TBT rendition again. Once again, in the TBT rendition. Let everyone read. Want to go TBT? Can we have it in the TBT? So let's read. Want to go? Can we see this one? I think the board is blocking it. Is it? Huh? So let's read. Want to go? Most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is. Next part of scripture. It says, for he shall be like a tree. Read out everybody. That spreads out his root, and he shall know what? So when you trust on God completely, meaning if you are seeing Jesus alone, you will know what? He said, you will not see what? And fear when heat, trials, and temptation come. You will not see and fear. Why? Because you are seeing something else. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And because of what you are seeing, it is causing an effect. You are like a tree planted by waters that spreads out its roots by the river. See, it is what you are seeing that is determining you like this. Oh. You having roots that is spread out everywhere. And you not being conscious of trials and temptations. Why? Because of your focus. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? That's why Satan will fight your focus on God's word. He knows the effect of being focused on God's word. Next part of scripture. He said, but its leaf shall be what? It shall not be what? Full of what? In the year of... Meaning your leaves will be green. You will always be productive. And not full of care in the, meaning you will not be doubting every time there's trouble. Anytime there seems to be any trial and temptation around you, you will not talk in the similitude of that trial and temptation. Say, nor shall it cease yielding fruit. You will always be yielding fruit because your focus is on God. amidst tough situation, you are producing fruit. But if you are singed, now the trials and temptation ought to come according to God's word. But if you are being singed in the trials and temptation, is because your focus is wrong. Remember, as long as Peter was seeing Jesus, he could walk on water. Remember, immediately he was now conscious of the circumstance around him, under him. What happened? He was now singed. Why would Satan bring the little trials and temptation around you like Peter? So that your gaze is removed from Jesus and what? Fix on your situation. And if it's fixed on your situation, the potential difference to do great things will just die. To come static. Peter could not walk on water again. Why? His gaze was not on Jesus. It's not about the trials and temptation. As long as Peter saw Jesus, he could walk. A lot was happening beneath him. But as long as his gaze was on Jesus, he was still walking. Immediately he became conscious of the situation and trials around him. What happened to him? What happened to him? He started sinking. Are you listening to me? So why is Satan bringing all the trials and temptation around you? He wants you to stop setting your gaze on Jesus. He wants you to start saying the wrong thing, because if your gaze is off Jesus, you start making wrong confessions. Hebrews 10:23 says, hold fast your confession of faith, knowing that your God is what? Faithful. Keep on saying it. Don't stop speaking it. I was teaching someone yesterday, I said the word of God is called the sword of the spirit. It's on the offensive. You fight with a sword. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Faith can be a shield. You can use the word of God as a shield of faith. Yet you can still use the word of God as a what? Sword of the spirit. Spoke about shield of faith. Spoke about breastplate of righteousness. You know, some Christians know God's word for shielding themselves. Alright? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But they don't know how to use God's word to fight. Remember, we ought to fight a good warfare of what? Faith. You think you just sit down and things will be working? No, you will tell things to work. And if your gaze is not on Jesus, you can't talk like this. You can't. You can't. You can't talk like this. See James 1:23 for instance. James 1:23. For if anyone only listen to the word without obeying it. Is it 23? Let me be sure. 26. Let everyone read. One to go. If anyone thinks of himself to be religious. Quite ambiguous to understand. Let's see it in the NLT's rendition. NLT. Want to go? Simple. You can't control your tongue. You say wrong things. Oh, I'm sick. Oh, I'm tired of this life. Things are not just working for me. I've tried. I'm suffering. Paul James is like, one religion you should not joke with is words. Never say the wrong things. Don't joke with that religion. Always say the right things. I remember Dr. Bill Kenneth Copeland. He was talking about his experience with Pastor Kenneth Copeland. He said, anytime they are making a phone call, they are on call, if they are talking at the beginning of his work with God, he said, Kenneth Copeland will always be correcting what he's saying. Don't say that. Say it like this. Not because it's not right according to English language, but it's not right according to faith language. Don't say the wrong things. See, don't say it. These are spiritual laws. The law of the spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of what? Sin and death. It's another law we live by. Don't say the wrong things. The word of God is double-edged sword. It protects you and you use it to fight at the same time. Imagine you have shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness, and not sword. How will you win a battle? No way. That's why Paul had to use that. There's shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness. But there's the word of God still works as a what? A sword. You use it to fight. Paul told Timothy, remember the word that has been spoken about you by your mother that was prophesied about you. Some of us have forgotten it. Go and check your books. Go and look for some of those jotters, writing materials in church. The prophecies that have been said about you that you wrote, go and dust them, carry them and look at them again. Something fresh will happen to your spirit. You know, when you refresh a laptop, you feel refreshed. Paul said, use them to pray. He now reminded him, he said, even the words that I, Paul, have said to you via the laying of hands. And sometimes I will lay my hands and I'll prophesy things to you. Say, go and remember them. He told Timothy, and I'm sure Timothy was down in his faith at that point. We didn't get the whole picture, but you can tell. Why will he tell Timothy to go and remember the words said about him and fight a good fight of faith? Of course, Timothy was doubting some things at some point of his life. He said, go and remember. Use them by them. He said, wage a good warfare. Wage a good warfare. Say, God, this is what you have said. Baragabash. Ligo baragadaya. Where there's no vision, my people perish. If you look at that vision, what God has said, you are back on fire. You are not lukewarm again. Write it down so that he that runneth will look at it as he runs. Write it down. Like God told Habakkuk. Say, run with the vision. Tell somebody, run with the vision. You have to be thinking God's word. Run with it. Every day you come out of your house, I have eternal life. I can't be sick. If you are conscious of these facts, this reality, I mean, not any one fact in this world will displace you. The doctor's report, no, you are not foolish. You can go and check yourself in the hospital, but when you see the report, you still understand God's word is higher than the report. I check myself as a pastor. Once in a while, I go to check myself. When they tell me I'm perfect, I go, well, thank you, Lord. When they say we see something in you, I speak God's word. I check the next time, you're perfect. I say, good. Are you listening to me? So almost every 2-3 months general checkup. So that thing we saw, we did not say anything. You know, I told you that they told me I had some symptoms of cancer. Ulcer. And when I prayed in the Holy Ghost, I told you what the Holy Spirit did to me. And we're in different levels of faith. I didn't say everybody should copy me. I was going to buy drugs one time. As I was trying to buy the Holy Ghost, I heard the Holy Ghost say, I heard Prophet Simon. Now, I've taken drugs before that time. Say, Prophet. I just heard Prophet, like somebody's mocking me. Prophet. And I told the guy, I'm coming. It held me. The pain was so strong. I was driving. So I stopped somewhere. I just told the lady, give me ulcer drug. So she was just removing. And you know those people? They will remove the ones you need, the ones you might need, the ones you might need, and say, buy all. Maybe nobody has gotten anything that day. And she was feeling it. As I heard the Holy Ghost, I went into my car. As I was driving, I laid my hands. Libro hoba shanda bagaya. I have eternal life. I felt like something was peeling, you know, like you are unraveling something from the left side of my. It was so painful. It was just losing itself. Immediately, I felt relieved. I went home, I told my wife, something has happened to me. Say, Pastor Simon, you are supposed to be eating early. You know what the doctor said? You are supposed to be eating early. I said, I understand. But something happened to me. What is it? I said, that ulcer has gone. I know it. Said, okay, we will check in. Blah, blah, blah. I went the next time for food checkup. As they checked me and were done, they said, okay, Pastor, you are fine. Nothing is wrong. I said, not like I'm doubting you, sir. One of your colleagues told me some months back that I used to have symptoms of ulcer. Is that how? I said, okay, explain, blah, 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 blah. He said, I don't think that there's nothing like that. You are perfectly okay. There's nothing wrong with you. I said, really? Yeah, actually, I just wanted to be sure. Glory to God. I refuse to be sick. I told you one of my experiences. Before I got married, fell into a ditch, big gutter, had one edge, sharp edge, fell and I hit this part of my ribs. Boom! That was a day to Christmas carol, December, many years ago. I think that was 2022, if I'm not mistaken, right? Or 2023, right? When did I marry? It's 2022 now that the thing happened. Yes, 2022. It wouldn't have been during my marriage. I would have not been able to walk. I fell down on the road at Yakio, that their market. I fell down. I was on the ground like this. People were passing. I heard two people mocking. They say he has gone to drink alcohol celebrating Christmas. They didn't see my face. It was so painful. I don't know how to explain it. This part of my ribs, the sharp edge. I just laid down like that. People came and were laughing. One guy just came. That's why I always, anytime I see the guy, I always give him money. Whether I feel like or I don't feel like. He just looked at me. He now turned my face. He said, I see this guy now. I think he's a pastor, self. He now called his friends. They came. They now look for hot water. Started pressing it, rub and everything. They say, no, we have to rush this guy somewhere. They rushed me to one chemist, they gave me some drugs, they referred me to an hospital. So I told them, take me home. They said, no, pastor, we have to look for a hospital. I said, take me home. Believe me, I felt life leaving me. I'm not lying. When they went home, they kept me, they just took me on bike, they kind of helped me. So when I got into the house, he said, I'm going to stay with you so that you will not, it looks like you will die. I said, then somebody came and said, this is what killed one bike man. You know, those bad testimonies. This is what killed one guy. You know, he said, boom, kakwan, eh? Meaning, I swear, this is what killed somebody the other day. All of those rubbish was entering my ear. When the guy left, I now pretended I was fine. The guy now left. I now called my wife to be that time. I said, Mama T on video call. I said, on the ground. She saw me on sleeping. Because, you know, I can be funny. Sometimes I can sleep like that. So, I said, see, I'm not fine. As I said, not fine. I said, Pastor, but I beg. You and your jokes. I beg, stop that. I said, I don't smile. I had to smile because I didn't even know what to do. I said, I'm not fine. I said, Pastor, please. I just ended the call. She was calling. I did not answer again. Because she couldn't believe I'm not fine. You know, that's one thing with pastors. You hardly believe that at some point, when something happened to a pastor, I don't know, it's especially somebody like me now. I looked at heaven, I said, God, I'm not coming to meet you now. There are prophecies over me, yet unfulfilled. You said I would do this thing. You said I'm going to go to the nations. Believe me, this is what I was saying. I'm going to do this and do that and do that. Now I feel entirely weak and like I'm dying. Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, touch me now. These are the same words, exact words I said. I saw the hand of God come from heaven. And the hand just on my chest. Believe me, I felt literal hand on my ribs. And as the hand touched me for a while, some second, it left. Immediately strength came. I felt so strong. The next morning, I went straight to Air Force Base. Straight! S3. They say, for what? I said, I fell. Boom, bam. The way I was saying it, they were not seeing evidence. When they checked, they said, nothing is wrong with you, Pastor. I said, check this side of the ribs. You know, I had faith, but I just wanted them, I'm sure there should be something small to show. They said, there is no trace of injury. One trace is not there. See, the word of God works. Don't allow anybody to deceive you. It works. Respect medicine, alright? But the word of God works.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.